Wait no longer. Welcome to Top Tier, the best worst top five video game ranking show on the internet. I am your host, Joseph. Alongside me, the greatest co-host who ever is, whoever will be, Mr. Kyle Stevenson. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. I'm ready to talk some incredibly weird and let's just start with weird games.
All right. And that's what the show is all about. It's all about getting weird. And this show all came out of the idea of supporting us on the Trophy Room podcast. The Trophy Room, a PlayStation podcast made by the players for the players over there on Patreon. You get your first access to Top Tier, or you wait a few weeks like everyone else and you get it at the end of the month. So with that, here at the show, it's a pretty simple premise. Okay? We love a good top five list next to any other person. Can't love but to love them. But we felt like we can make the best, worst list ever made. And so here on episode one, we are making the top PlayStation launch games that will launch for the PlayStation 5. And who to judge for each one of these games as we rank them? Well, none other than the pants man himself, Mr. Sean Capri.
Oh, it's me, Sean Capri, the Xbox guy on the PlayStation podcast. I'm here to judge you all and your choices, and also with you.
We're starting
weird, Made man. It was weird before we hit record. It's gonna be weird. I'm so stoked to be here. I love you both. Thank you. Let's do this.
Love you too.
Listen, no problem. Thank you again. This show came out of the idea of what was the great PlayStation debate that we had for charity a few months back, where we somehow got to the conclusion that what was it?
Infamous Second Son.
I still have nightmares.
Yeah, man.
It made me fight for that
PlayStation game.
It's important context, Joe. You need to set the stage for what people are in for here, because the last time we got together and we did this, yes, indeed, Infamous Second Son. And if you listen back, I may have manipulated just a little bit. I don't remember, but I think that's because that's what my choice would be. That is the number one game on PS4. I'm just kidding. You know it's Bloodborne. I've been on the Trophy Room. Game of the generation. I love that game. But I do have a secret love for Infamous Second Son.
Yeah, it's a great game.
Mm-hmm. It's not so secret.
It's not the best.
No.
Definitely not.
But you're in for a cheat. So here's the deal, all right? Here's the scenario.
Here's the deal.
Kyle and I are suddenly in charge of the first party for PlayStation. And they say, guys, gang, we didn't go to E3 because we have no games. You have 6 months to put something out there on the launch of the PlayStation 5. Ready?
Ready.
Here's the thing. There's no safe bets here. The gloves are off. These games probably might not ever happen. But fuck it, we're creating.
Mm-hmm.
So with that,
I also like how you said games. 6 months to get these games out, because my games would... Yeah, 6 months would be the right amount of time.
So with that said, our opening arguments, our strategy walking into this, the pilot episode of Top Tier, my strategy, Sean Capri, is to totally not explain the rules all too well to Kyle so that I automatically win the first episode.
Okay.
Goal and accomplished.
At the same exact time.
Okay, acknowledging the disadvantage. Okay, got it.
I want to make sure that I am ruining this man's hopes, this man's dreams, right in front of him.
It's real.
I want to take the
mean
games that he loves and kill them like if it was his own born children.
Wow.
That's my goal. There are no safe bets. The gloves are off. There is no Bloodborne 2 here. There is no Demon Souls. I'm only bringing the hype. That's what I'm bringing. I'm bringing 2020, the year of dreams. Kyle, what's your strategy walking in?
My strategy could not be any more different than yours, Joe. I'm just here to have a good time. I'm here to, you know, joke around with you, come up with the top five list.
Sure.
There will be no Bloodborne stabs from me on this episode. Now that I know what the rules are, what your mindset is going forward, I can't say that won't happen in the future. But for this one specifically, I went full on weird with it. Okay. I went full on... I'm going to make jokes. If I'm in charge, I want to see this happen. because these games are totally unique and rad. Okay. And yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready to take you down. I'm ready to reach Mr. Capri up there. Ooh. That's what I'm ready to go up.
Mr. Capri, you heard he takes this launch like it's a joke, not too seriously though. People's livelihoods depend on it here at PlayStation.
You know what? I took that as a sexual innuendo, and I'm about it. That's all right. I'm allowed.
All right.
You guys said no gloves on, so.
No, hey, listen.
Barehanded.
Kyle,
yeah?
What is your top five game for the launch of the PlayStation 5?
Sure. So my fifth one, like all of mine, pay homage to the past 25 years of PlayStation.
Okay.
In all shapes and sizes. PlayStation will be a prominent role in this one. My number five is a game that launched with the PlayStation 4. Oh. A mascot, if you will. But not a great mascot, but a mascot. He's back. We're talking Knack 3, Enemy Unknown. This is a grid-based strategy game where Knack and his buddies go through levels to take out goblins and orcs to stop them from their evil plan to take over the world. Or at least that's what I remember Knack being about. Permadeath is real, and there is no reviving them. Once your character dies, it's done, just like XCOM. Once all the characters die, it's game over. You have to start over from the beginning, because there's only, I think, six people in Knack's party. So you need to make sure you're on top of your game and making strategic moves to take out these goblins and orcs.
Now, I got a question for you.
Go for it.
And Sean, please interject with your own questions, your own comments, your own concerns.
Okay.
Is this Mark Cerny leading the team? Is this his creative vision?
This is Mark Cerny's younger brother, Tim Cerny. okay. He's like the lead architect of like...
Fucking it already won.
He's like, you know, like the legacy hire at PlayStation. Yeah. Okay. He's in charge of this one.
Just pure nepotism. Pure nepotism is where you're going at.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Damn it. This is a good strategy.
It is probably
folks.
Tim. That's so good.
Shock.
I'm dead. That was so perfect. What? What do you want?
Judge, honorable judge.
Okay.
Sean
yeah.
Capri.
I'm here.
What are you liking about his plan over here? This Knack 3 game.
Well, I mean, start me off with things that I like. Obviously, this has got to have some sort of Cerny DNA inserted into the thing. So I like that. I like that it's still within the family. What I'm not sure about, like the mid-series, mid-franchise, just like complete throw-out of the franchise before, the genre and everything. I think it's bold. So that's the thing that I don't know if I love it, but it is bold. Sure. I cannot deny that you're calling it 3. This isn't like just calling it Knack, Enemy Unknown. Uh-huh. You're just straight up, this is the third Knack. If you think that this is connected to the last ones or not, whatever, that's on you. This one's got permadeath. That's what you got to pay attention to.
Absolutely.
So wait, very, very bold.
What's this game rated? That's another question that should...
This game is rated T for teen.
Okay. T for teen.
So you're not going to see dick.
No. Not a whole lot of gore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
None of that, because this is the family game for the launch of my PS5.
Tell me this. Mark Cerny is known for coming up with incredible technologies and architectures and designs.
Of course.
We've heard of things in the PS4 families like voxels and things like that. What is Tim Cerny bringing to the table with his genius family mind? He's been raised by astronauts, of course, the Cerny family, famously raised by astronauts, actually from space, beaming knowledge down microwaves. What is Tim Cerny's? What's his big technological feat that he's achieving with a Knack 3, Enemy Unknown?
Man, that is a great question.
I tried to ramble a bit so that you could think about it for a little longer, just in case that wasn't clear.
Rambling wasn't long enough for me.
Oh, dang it.
I would like to interject here, not to just buy Kyle time, but to say Tim Cerny is known to be a bit of the black sheep of the family. He's not very well respected nor liked. He's kind of
he's always trying to prove himself.
He's hanging on a trust fund. He's that type of guy who's out there who's like the white guy with dreadlocks. You know, he has the you know, the tie-dye sweater that's knitted from, like, grandma material.
He's the kind of person that I've, like, what I'm really worried about Tim Cerny, having known about him for a very, very long time, I've always thought this about Tim Cerny, is that he's the type of guy who's trying so hard to prove himself. He'll lock himself into a basement, coming up with a great system, and then he'll come out in 2020 and say, I've invented this system called the Nemesis system.
Oh.
And then not realize that it totally existed since 2015's Shadow of Mordor.
Absolutely. Sounds like a fucking hack.
Yeah.
That's what I'm
going
to
say.
Yeah. And I think this is kind of a situation with Knack 3 Enemy Unknown. Tim brought hit points into Knack 3.
okay.
Because that is something that the other Knacks did not have, and a leveling system. So Knack isn't just big when he collects things from broken debris. Mm-hmm. You have to gain those levels in order to get to the massive size.
Powered by the cloud.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Right.
All
right. Okay.
Here's my game.
Very cool. Knack 3. I love it. Thanks, Kyle.
Let me bring you back to realism, folks. Okay. Let's not talk about Tim Cerny, who may or may not exist. Let's be real.
Everybody's right? Googling, like, what's Mark Cerny's brother's name?
Mark Cerny brother.
There's going to be a bump into the Google Trends.
Yeah. Right.
A big spike.
Like, Cerny gets a text on his phone in the morning. Who's. You have a brother named Tim? What's going on here?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay. Reality, here it is. Guys, gang, Sony bought Insomniac Studios, okay? The amazing creators of Ratchet and Clank, of the Resistance trilogy, of Spider-Man. But they also made one other game. One other game that was so great, yet so stranded on a platform that didn't support it. And that game is Sunset Overdrive. We're making Sunset Overdrive 2 for the PlayStation 5. The name, working title, Sunset Overdrive Armageddon. Because here's the thing. You can't have a 2. You can't. Because we're starting it new, it's kind of like a soft reboot. But we're really working what the original did so well, was giving you these aerial combat where you're just kind of skating on the sky, on the rails. We're giving you awesome weapons. You're giving them stronger, crazier mutants, and totally co-op, totally able to just sit there with your friends. And it's kind of like a looter shooter in the way of you're leveling up your weapons. You're finding crazier guns that do crazier, more stupid shit. Like, maybe you get a soda can shooting minigun. Who knows? Sky's the limit in Sunset Overdrive.
Okay. I feel like you know me very, very well. You know, number one, that my favorite movie of all time, what is it? Armageddon. Of course. Like that you're
that
bringing
was not
over,
intentional, though.
Bringing over a little Xbox love with Sunset Overdrive. Many an Xbox fanboy will tell you that this is the greatest game that's ever been made in the history of man. So cool play right there. Love the mention of co-op. Really great. Crazy weapons. Let's see something like, kind of like Borderlands. Why be limited to like 6 or 12? Why not be a billion? Let's have a billion weapons in this year's Sunset Overdrive 2.
Well, we don't want to go too crazy, but it does have the more like whimsical, like
a million.
Nonsensical that like Borderlands has, but mm-hmm. it does have an end game and a true progression.
Okay, so for people who did not play Sunset Overdrive, with this being a PlayStation only audience, obviously people who listen to PlayStation podcasts only play PlayStation, they don't know anything else. I'm just kidding, I love you guys. Okay, in Sunset Overdrive, the Armageddon that happened, the end of the world, is caused by, like, there's zombies and all these things running around because of an energy drink. Tell me more about what causes, or maybe is it a continuation? Is there a new energy drink that joins the family?
Yeah, so here's the funny thing about corporations.
Mm-hmm.
They don't learn.
They really don't.
That's the one thing we do.
Profit.
So what we're doing is pretty much, it's the same thing, right? It's an energy drink that causes severe damage in the first game.
Mm-hmm. How innovative. Same thing, huh?
Yeah. This one's going to speak to a bit of a deeper audience here. It's a 5-hour energy.
Oh.
It's taking wait for it. It's because Monster has their own version of 5-hour energy drink. It's Monster. It's sponsored by Monster.
Mm-hmm.
Monster is the company, the corporation we should have knew the whole time. Remember that lady in that one YouTube commercial that said that Monster was working for the devil?
Yep.
She had three claws. It was like the sign of the beast. bam, Monster Energy Drink is the villain.
I'm connecting all the dots because obviously Monster has a huge home now on PlayStation. It'll be an extended universe of Death Stranding.
Yep.
Where Monster
and the PlayStation Plus game Monster Energy Drink Motocross that was free in December.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many connections.
So it makes sense.
Tying it all.
Also, you're fighting monsters, of course.
Yep.
So that totally makes sense. Mm-hmm. And it also lends to the sequel, which would be caused by 6 Hour Energy Drinks by Monsters.
Ooh, so that could be DLC.
Mm-hmm. that'll be the after credits scene.
Yeah.
Where somebody just looks up. But what if it was for 6 hours? And then that's it. And then it's just over. And then Samuel Jackson shows up with an eye patch. And then everybody loses their minds.
I'd like to talk to you about the Insomniac Initiative.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay.
That was not a Morgan Freeman.
I don't know. I don't think that's better.
Yeah. So there you go. That's
all right. Okay. So we got Knack 3 from Kyle. We've got another Sunset Overdrive from Joe. All right. Off to a real good start. I don't know how to feel about this. I'm curious how other people feel about this right now.
Who wins? Who is the true top five? There could only be one.
They're both real bad. They're both real bad.
You haven't heard bad yet,
I can't wait.
Sean.
Okay. Well, I just want to be clear that, like, in case anybody wasn't certain about my stance on all of this, it's a tough choice. It's a real tough choice because they're both
it's a real
so bad.
Sophie's choice.
The best worst list.
I think if this were Sophie's choice, it'd just be like, just kill them both.
Get a PS5. That's pretty much what it is.
No. This is, dude, I think the Sunset Energy, it's whatever. It's a great idea.
I think I'm going to go with Kyle's, with Knack 3.
Is
because of Tim Surdy. I think I can't. I got to give the love to Tim.
You love to see an underdog.
He's got to get a win.
Yeah, he does have to get. You're right. Yeah, Tim.
And you know what? You know what? He's got to move out of the goddamn house.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to move out of the
This'll
goddamn
do it.
House.
This'll be it.
You know what? I can't even be upset.
So congratulations, Knack 3.
And Tim Sandy. Kyle, what is your number four?
I need to decide which one's going next.
Okay. Would you like me to go then?
Yeah, please.
Okay. Listen, let me get the phone out. All right. Here's just a simple and cute one. This is a game that I really want, and I love the first game, so much so. Came out 2 years ago for PSVR. It's one of the best platformers ever, and we're really just continuing it for a mainstream audience. Because to me, I want the PlayStation 5's launch to have a little bit of something for everyone in here. That's my main goal. So we have the third-person shooter. Didn't make it because goddamn Tim Cerny nepotism. But today, I'm launching the sequel to Astrobot called The Adventures of Captain Astrobot by Japan Studios. And this will be a PlayStation 5 and PSVR title, carrying over PlayStation's commitment to VR and the ability of playing it whether you want it to be on the main screen or on your VR goggles. You're following the adventures of Captain Astrobot across the universe, saving other little Astrobots in need. Simple, cute, adadorable, and I love it.
Okay, I like it. I like the idea of it being on VR as well as the main thing. Now, I've got to dig into this a little bit, of course, because a lot of the magic that people found out of it was, oh, this is the game that's on VR. This is like a reason to own VR. How does the game translate to the non-VR experience? Like, is it still a magical, whimsical experience when you don't have sort of the, forgive the term, the gimmick of VR, that differing perspective and experience?
Right. So that's a really great question.
Thank you.
Astrobot works so well in VR because there's cute little knickknacks around each corner that you can kind of turn around and, give a dog a bone. And you can find within the environment. But the way we're going to translate that is kind of like how in Mario 3D World, sort of, where you're controlling Astrobot mainly through the right thumbstick, and you're controlling the camera itself through the left thumbstick.
Mm-hmm.
So you're kind of looking around if you needed to kind of look around with the left thumbstick as like you were with your VR helmet. Or it could even work the other way where you're using the gyroscope sensor, but I hate gyroscopes, so we're not doing it.
Okay, so optional kind of motion
and
controls
also,
kind of thing.
And I get it, because we want to cater to everybody here. Invert controls as well.
like possible for, or just locked in on invert, make everybody
possible.
It, whoever comes out with the game that launches on PS5 that has no option but to be inverted, you got my vote instantly. So now, so you could have won me over with Sunset Overdrive if it was only invert. Done. But convert again, everybody.
It's a possibility. Like, you could if you want to. And it'll tell you from the beginning. It'll give you the options so you don't have to go into the options yourself. You know, when you're like, oh, fuck, this is not invert controls.
Tell me more about the VR experience then. How does it improve upon or make worse? I'm not sure what we're really going for here. How does it improve the VR experience we saw in the first game?
Visual fidelity, main focus, and frame rate is drastically improved because of the strength of the PlayStation 5. So it's at a constant... It's at a constant 60 FPS, right? It's at a constant, when we're looking at a draw distance, greatly improved. And again, you can't do much for the resolution of it. It's more of a commitment to the fact that PSVR is still a factor, is still an option for this future platform.
Maybe so, in the PS5 lifetime, PSVR will outsell Kinect. That'd be amazing. Super cool. Let me ask you about this. Is there co-op, or is this a single-player experience again?
So if the PlayStation 5 functionality, you'll have the option for co-op. You'll either have one person who's kind of like in Super Mario, where one person is like kind of like the camera itself moving around, or if you want, you could be Captain Astro Girl or whatever. And she's pink because he's blue, and it's real fun, and it's cute, and it's whimsical.
Do you think... Now, forgive, this may sound insensitive. I don't think it is. Well, maybe it is. Okay. When a young Jewish boy, or a young Jewish girl, becomes a young woman, she has a, she has a, she has a, want to finish, a bat mitzvah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So maybe the I'm Astro Bot is a girl. She's a Jewish little robot. And the co-op is when you have a bar, Astro Bar. So you have a bar mitzvah.
Is now, that too, now we're cooking.
Is that something?
If the judge likes it, we can proceed with that idea.
Maybe save it for the next sequel. Maybe it'll be mid console.
DLC, I think, is best.
The DLC. All right. Maybe I should participate instead of judge. But I'm just saying. Consider it. if you want us to be for everybody, the little maybe the hat that's your VR.
Any hat. You get to choose a bevy of hats, all culturally appropriate.
I'm just saying. Just consider. Like a yarmulke on your VR helmet. Astrobot, The Adventures of Captain Astrobot is your number two, or I guess number four game, Joe. Anything else you want to add to it?
No, I think it's...
Any final comments? Okay. All right. Well, I'm now very interested to see what Kyle's got in store.
It's very interesting to me that Joe brought a game from a Japan studio that happens to be VR, because... that is exactly what I'm bringing to you for my second game. This game is from Japan Studios. It's been in development hell for years. It was originally supposed to come out on the PS4, and now it got pushed back and back and back to the PS5. It is also playable in VR and in PS5 standard. It's called The Last Platinum. A gamer wakes up in an ancient bachelor pad next to a platinum trophy. They must strengthen their bond to get out of the apartment before their mom yells at them to do the laundry. You do a variety of chores throughout the house. Every time you're carrying your platinum trophy around with you as you are doing these chores, mini games of doing the dishes and just looking at your platinum trophy, giving it a nice little rub, hey, platinum, thanks for being here. I love you. And you keep going around making sure your bachelor pad is nice because... you know, mom wants you out of the basement, and you got to do it. You have to do it with the platinum trophy in order to get out.
Is this an easy plat, Kyle?
This is very easy plat. I mean, you get it at the start of the game. You wake up with it.
Oh, okay. So immediately you unlock.
You immediately get the platinum trophy.
Okay, so this is a 99-cent game, is what you're telling me.
No, this is a full AAA Sony Japan game. Like, this is a full $60 experience.
Talk to me a little bit more about this bachelor pad that your mom lives in.
You know what? That's a good point, Sean. Did not think of that when I was writing this up. You know what? It's out back, actually. It's out the basement. It's the shed in the backyard.
Makes sense.
That is where... Keep her in the shed? Your own mother?
No. That's where you are living. You're living in a shed.
Okay. Yes. Okay. I like it, man.
Mom gets the main house.
I've got a clear picture on my mind of the setting. Everything is great.
Typical Sony Japan art style.
Like, okay.
Go. And
Joe?
Chores fucking suck. No one wants to do a chore.
Okay.
Why are we making them?
Well, this is what I wanted to dive into. I'm glad you bring that up, Joe, because that's what I'd want. So I'm getting some Stardew Valley, Animal Crossing, Harvest Moon kind of vibes here.
Yeah.
Talk to me more about like that. What the weirdos who like these sort of chores games?
You know what? When we were building up a launch lineup for a new system, we want to acknowledge the weirdos that do love these types of games. And so I want to have a choice available for them so they're not left out.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people like to escape the world and to just do real world stuff in a game. And this is basically what it is.
So is there an ending?
Doing chores in your own bachelor pad.
Is there an ending? You save the princess or like mom moves out or something or what is it?
Like You and your platinum trophy go off and you get to live in your own house at the end of the game. There are also evil people that come in to try to stop you.
Okay.
Like termites.
Termites.
And the health inspector comes to try to shut you down.
Wait, also a restaurant?
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? Okay. It could be.
So
you
mentioned this game has been in development hell. I've been following this game very closely over the years, ever since PS4 was back in the old days when Sony was actually at E3.
Yeah.
We've been hearing rumblings about this. I've completely forgotten my question. Joe, did you want to jump in with anything?
I would still like to say that the mass audience doesn't want to do chores. I know I don't.
Mm-hmm.
Not even for a trophy.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't sound fun.
That's totally fair.
A bachelor pad with your mother is just... That you're not gonna get anybody. You know, you're trying to talk to someone on Grindr or whatever. You know,
but imagine being immersed in VR in
Tinder,
that shed.
Linder.
Mm-hmm. You can smell the laundry that you have to do.
That's disgusting. I don't want to play that game.
I don't know. I think some people would.
I think some people might as well. Man, Kyle makes a really strong argument on this one.
Do we want to again appeal to the children, to the young at heart, to everybody? To Captain Astrobot, what is a revered game, or do you want to do the fucking dishes?
I think I'm going to give it to the dishes. I'm going to give it to the dishes.
Are you kidding?
I'm gonna, you know, here's the thing. I needed to hear a new IP. People don't want all the same thing. They want to see new ideas, but still familiar enough that they know what they're getting themselves into. So my second choice definitely goes to The Last Platinum. And kudos to the Japan Studios for sticking with that.
What does The Last Platinum have to do with any of the things that are happening?
You know what? You know what? Here's the thing. The Last Platinum's not trying to be the next Mario 64. It knows what it is. I'm standing by that. That's my final verdict.
Right. That's a strong argument, I guess.
Hell yeah. Are you moving me up some notches there, Joe? Because I'm so far ahead of you right now.
I guess you're already going to win because your ideas are so fucking dumb.
I wish I could remember what I was going to ask you.
Explain the
be
rules
good.
Better.
You know what? Maybe you just have a gift. That's what I'm.
And those are the two that I wasn't super high on. Just wait for the other three.
Dang.
Well, what is your third one, sir?
All right, let's get right
sure
into it.
Of yourself over here.
So, like I said, all of these games have to give homage to the PlayStation's history.
Sure.
And PS3, PS4 had one of the greatest mascots in all time in Nathan Drake. So I would be remiss if I did not add an Uncharted title to this launch lineup of the PS5. But this one is called, I can't say this without a straight face, Uncharted SpaghettiOs. this is a full-fledged AAA Uncharted game from Cassie, Nathan Drake's daughter's point of view as she was a child. Because when you're a kid, everything is an adventure. Trying to walk. Trying to talk. Trying to eat for the first time. Going to school. Riding the bus for the first time. But just imagine the action set pieces as a child. Trying to make it through this life as a four-year-old. When your dad and your mom are these world-renowned travelers.
So Rugrats, but Uncharted.
Sure. Yeah, you can see Cassie swinging or jumping from couch cushion to couch cushion. The floor is lava. That's a huge action set piece in this game.
Listen. Sean, what do you got?
My question was going to be over to Joe. Like, are you just going to give up now? Because, like, this is excellent. Did you say who developed this game? I know it's an Uncharted game.
It's not Naughty Dog because, of course, they're working on Last of Us.
Sony Bend.
Yeah. I was going to Sony San Diego.
Okay.
Wow.
What are you pulling Sony San Diego off of so that they can make this masterpiece?
Two studios.
They have two studios. So one is working on the show, and one is working on an Uncharted game.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. This is absolutely amazing. Tell me how far into the game you get before Cassie Drake has to shoot a dozen or so enemies. Like, at what point does she become the mass murderer that that her older brother is?
That man.
Is that something we can look forward to?
I think it's when she
is it limited to Nerf guns?
Can I get it here, Kyle? She's practicing on squirrels and small animals for
woodland creatures.
Woodland little folk. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're tricky because of how quick they are.
Well, Cassie, she doesn't go along with society norms, right? So she would get, for birthday parties, she would get all these Barbies, right? Cassie is not a girly girl. She likes to do her own thing. She's a daughter of a world-renowned traveler.
Right.
So she uses the Barbies as targets.
Mm-hmm.
She takes them out.
Oh, wow.
When she grows up to, like, real human beings and there's some actual violence, it's when she turns into a teenager. And that's, like, the last act of the game.
Right. Tell me more about every action adventurer in any third-person shooter action adventure kind of game. They all have like a martial arts of choice. Some of them are taekwondo, some of them are karate. Some of them. What's Cassie's mixed martial or what's her martial art of choice?
Capoeira.
Tell me about that. That is
dance fighting. I'm pretty sure.
Dance fighting.
Pretty like Eddie Gordo in the Tekken series.
Classic. Yep. Yeah.
I can see Cassie kind of doing that because she's still trying to. Grow into her body. She's still kind of, you know, the awkward child stage where she can't, like, stay steady.
So it kind of looks like Just Dance dancing to Macklemore. And that's what she's taking these Barbie dolls out with?
Yeah, absolutely.
Interesting. Yeah. It's a game I never knew I wanted. Mm-hmm. Okay, very cool. Joseph, anything else that you'd like to ask about this? That sounds excellent, man.
I feel like you're already going to pick it.
It sounds really good, Kyle. Thank you so much for... Man, what an interesting lineup we have to look forward to this holiday with
PS5.
Something
for everybody.
There is absolutely something for
everybody. I feel like the Xbox guy is just picking the weaker titles on purpose.
You know what? The audience will decide. The audience will decide. But that's a strong entry, Kyle.
Thank you.
I'm proud of you.
Well, I too had an Uncharted game. And by God, I'm going to stand by it. I know that the audience and that God is on my side.
God.
And that is Uncharted, A Thief's Fall. All right, here's the deal, gang. Same studio, San Diego, because that's been rumored for a while that this, the next sequel, from the creative director that brought you, what was the one with Chloe?
Lost Legacy.
So sorry. Same creative director, he left Naughty Dog to pursue this at San Diego. And it does follow Nathan Drake's daughter as she is trying to find out what has happened to her father while at the same exact time trying to find the some type of hidden artifact that's linking the Drakes together. So there you go. It's a coming-to-age tale. You could kind of use parallels to Tomb Raider, but the fact here is the difference between this game and Uncharted's of the rest is that Chloe doesn't use weapons. This is about parkour. This is about using her wits and her tools to fool enemies instead of just straight up kill them. So it's more of a pacifist role. It's more of a stealth game, and it's a platforming showcase as well. So it's about using your environment and not so much, the biggest problem with Uncharted is he's using a gun all the time, right? Mm-hmm. He's mowing down fools left and right, and he has no remorse. She does, and that's the difference.
What does she want to do with her life? She's coming of age. Like, what does she want? It sounds like she's going to have some sort of, like, inner struggle.
Her struggle is having that same passion that her dad has for... discovery, for history, but also dealing with the fact that her father, as she's going through the story, is uncovering all the shady shit that he's done in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, Nathan Drake is always this moral, like, ambiguous figure, but always tends to do the right thing. He's more of a reluctant hero, where she is a lawful good going through this journey where she's finding out that her father isn't the man that he spoke himself to be.
A terrible discovery of any father, not exactly. Superman.
Exactly.
Not Superman. What does she think of her dad going into it?
She loves him. Like, yeah. That is the reason why she's pursuing all this stuff in history. That's why she's like a, you know, she's kind of like a archaeologist. That's her thing. She loves history. That's her big get.
Okay, now Nathan Drake instantly won audiences over with his quick wit, his charm, his good looks, his wet pants. Tell me more about why the audience is really gonna fall in love with not this one. Is it Cassie? Is that her actually like that's that one,
I believe
that part
that's
was
her
real, right?
Name.
That was real, right? Okay, yeah. So it's Cassie here as well.
Because,
why do we love Cassie?
Because it's the same reason why we like Peter Parker in the MCU.
Mm.
Right? They're young. We could see our past selves in them, you know, wild-eyed, optimistic, looking at the world, ready to take it on, looking for the best in people rather than the worst in people. She's not spoiled. She understands the world. She's cultured. But she is still naive to the darker sides of the Nathan Drake legacy.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
that's what she's about. It's more about the childhood-like innocence. Though she's like 16, 17, let's just say 18, around there. She's a young adult, but she still sees the best in people. And that's something that we often don't do when we're looking at video games. And since she is a protagonist, that is strictly pacifist.
Okay, last question. Okay. Because you truly have me torn here. Because this is, it's actually very interesting. Like, all jokes aside, I love the direction that Kyle went in. This is like, this is super cool. Yeah. The other person, or one of the other characters that we loved in the original trilogy, or other, I guess, four games, Sully, of course. Old man Sully. Talk to me about, like, the cast a little bit surrounding Cassie. Like, the Uncharted games have always been more than just Nathan Drake. Does she have a friend? Does she bring along her dog? Does she have somebody that's always there to guide her along her journey?
So Sully is used as a plot device that brings the humanity out in Nathan Drake.
Mm-hmm.
So Sullivan at this time he's gone and passed, and Sullivan is the person that your dad's always talking about in these stories of his. So you are alone, but you're.
The ghost of Sullivan shows up every once in a while, like a Jedi ghost.
Exactly.
But just the mustache.
I'll always be with you. But your model, like your friend, your ally, is your Aunt Chloe.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's really good.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. Oh, that's a great tie-in. Because we need that familiarity. That's the Lost Legacy tie-in as well.
Exactly.
No, and who doesn't love Chloe?
Oh, my God, right?
Yeah.
He really did pick the wrong woman. Let's be real.
Yeah. Yeah,
don't
I think so. I think
Elena.
But listen, we got to decide.
This is a genuine tough one. This is actually really difficult. But I got to think a better picture of what's in store with Joe's. With Uncharted, A Thief's Fall. Gotta say, the name. Could use maybe just work on the name a little bit. I really liked Uncharted Uh-Ohs and SpaghettiOs because I like good rhythm in my titles, and I like rhyming, etc. But I think it was a little too, what did you call it? What the hell is that cartoon you mentioned?
Rugrats.
Thank you. Yeah. Too much Rugrats. Too much Nickelodeon. Too much Joe.
Yes.
Plus, I got to balance it out, guys. Come on. What do you want from me?
Joe,
congratulations.
Yep. Thank you.
Well done, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, sir.
Congratulations, Sony San Diego.
We could probably
Diego.
Workshop this, and that could be the beginning of your game.
You know what?
Mm-hmm.
Me, like, my version of Cassie sitting on Sully's lap, of him telling stories and her imagining it.
like an old timey like photo video.
See, I was really looking for You mentioned that she's not spoiled, but like she didn't really have that rough upbringing that Nathan Drake obviously has. So she didn't like she wasn't forged from the depths like Bane kind of thing.
Exactly.
Until one day she's playing around with Great Uncle Sully. And she's just playing around and kicks his teeth out and he chokes on his front teeth and he dies. And that's the tragedy that starts the entire thing. God. That's dude, don't you have to start every Sony exclusive game with like something gut wrenching within the first 10 minutes?
It's true.
Joel's daughter, spoilers, and now it's Sully. Dies on his own two front teeth.
Can I give you
she struggles with that for the rest of her life, by the way, because all the other kids are saying, "All I want for Christmas are my two front teeth." And she's like
No,
I don't want them.
Damn.
Killer front teeth.
So I didn't know what I was doing with this. But when I started, I had like a real list of real games, and one of them would be an Uncharted game with Cassie going to try to find Atlantis.
Yeah.
And I came up with the title of Uncharted Sic Parvis Magna could be the name of her game.
Wow.
From
That might have won.
We should be a creative team.
We should have.
That's number two. Can you do number? Not, once she finds herself, like once she realizes, I'm actually really good at this. Like Rise of the Cassie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
That's never been used before.
Never. It's a really good sequel title.
Number two.
Well, I went first that time, so you get to go first this time.
Oh, do I really? Yeah. Okay. Hey, Kyle, I got a question for you.
Hey, buddy.
What's a game that you really love?
Oh,
a series that you really love.
MLB.
Are you going Resistance with this one?
I'm going with Resistance.
Yeah, I knew
this. This game doesn't get enough respect, nay, love that it deserves. It has a cult following, okay? People love this game. Five people, but we're going to make it six after this.
I hate you.
This game is a collaboration between Insomniac, but wait for it. Gio Corsi's own Illphonic Studios. Mm. That is right. Now, the problem with Resistance, since we already have a shooter here, a more classic shooter, we're going to reinvent what Resistance is as a franchise. This is a hard reboot of the series as a whole, but following the lineage that Resistance left behind. This game is not a first-person shooter. Nay, it's not even a third-person shooter. Resistance Uprising is XCOM meets Total War. This is a strategy game by Sony. This is something that Sony hasn't done that I am so jealous that Microsoft is able to do with their studios, with Gears Tactics, with Halo Wars. Why not use the atmosphere that Resistance offers, the aliens that Resistance offers? The enemies are creepy and they could be used in really unique ways, and you could create really awesome big hulking beasts. And the whole mission is that the world has fallen, the Chimera has taken over, and your mission, you are the general of taking back America. And so this is the whole point of the game. You're from the Pacific and you're going all the way towards Washington, D.C. to restore liberty and hope to the rest of the world. Now, the XCOM and Total War aspects is that you have these big battles that you can, through the power of the solid state drive in the PlayStation 5, utilize to take sections of the battle and actually have XCOM scenarios where you can control individual soldiers fighting individual chimera. So you can help turn the tide, even if you don't have as much of forces as like the Chimera have. You can help by, again, just pure strategy, win the day for America and the world.
Sony has a nice lineage of reboots, and the fans have really shown a lot of, I think, resilience as well, going from like, I'm liking it. I see where you're going with this. Talk to me more about the decision to go to that genre of game. There's a lot of genres that you could have gone through. I thought you were going to go to fourth person shooter for a second.
I'm looking at the catalog of PlayStation and seeing what it's missing. And that's what I really wanted to do with this top five. So, like, we gave you a third-person shooter, right? We're giving you another action adventure with Uncharted. I wanted to make sure that we don't just give linear stories a try, but we can give also strategy, something that PlayStation often hasn't done in the past, and give it to a studio that understands, Illfonic, understands the culture surrounding certain games. Like with Predator, we certainly get the feel of what it's like, that they get what a Predator should react to or feel like, and with Friday the 13th. And I feel like how they understood Freddy and how to make multiplayer situations that normally wouldn't work, and by giving them a big budget and partnering with Naughty Dog, I think this would be a great, great partnership to have. And it's also a VR game as well, because it's using the Insomniac crew to that works usually on Oculus games into this project as well. So you get to be immersed. You have the god view of a strategy game in VR as well as on your screen.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I get the sense that we're getting away from the first-person shooter, because maybe one opinion that somebody might have out there, maybe it's me, is that the Resistance series wasn't the strongest as a first-person shooter game, so you're kind of getting away from that. Now, talk to me a little bit about the story and characters that sort of, like, populate this world, because I think that the same kind of goes there. I think the Resistance, and this is, like, being all seriousness, like, it was, like, a solid 7, 7.5 across the board, and, like, visuals, story, gameplay, everything. Tell me a little bit more about, like, what the specialization that Gio Corsi's team is going to bring to the table that helps me care a little bit more. If it, like, first-person shooters can kind of, like, rest on their laurels a little bit, like, flashy first-person, like, and it's a very comfort food type of genre. With with this, with a little bit more cerebral gameplay, what else am I latching myself onto to kind of justify the reboot? How am I supposed to care about the characters or the world within Resistance in a way that I wasn't caring about or I missed caring about the first time?
I think the first thing is that the main character is you. You're just called the general. That's the one thing, like, XCOM does really well, is the commander is you're the commander. And so you have different areas and different areas, like a science sector, a medical sector, infantry sector, and they're all having to do with, or they're all shown by having these one character on screen represent each one. Each of them have kind of like a Death Stranding esque approach of storytelling, where you're walking in to the medical wing and they're giving you exposition as to what's happening, why you should care for them, and what's going on personally with them and in the overall battle.
The last thing that I want, you mentioned Death Stranding. Part of me thinks about the social connectivity on the PSN and how all our friends, we go where our friends are. Yeah. Is there online multiplayer? Is there anything that, like, connects friends to friends? This shared world thing that you maybe alluded to for a second there?
A shared world, absolutely. So you could go online, you can find your friends, whatever they created, whether it's a battle that they created with different bosses to get into your path, different type of, maybe even we can even make it a war zone like situation where you have to get from point A to point Z, and that along the way is all curated by multiplayer communities, so you're never playing the same game twice.
Okay. You've piqued my interest there. Okay, I like it. I think I have no further questions. Kyle, you're nodding along. I don't know. I want to give you a chance to either rebut. Are we supposed to have, like, challenges? I don't know what's supposed to happen here.
No, I've got no rebutting. I'm just...
Okay.
Yeah.
Confident.
I'm very confident. Yes. Yeah.
Kyle, what's your pick, buddy?
So, like Joe said, PlayStation needs to have some new types of games, or games that have not been a huge part of the PlayStation lineup for a long time. And the one that I thought of when Shu gave me the 6 months to plan out this launch was Extreme Sports. Where are the Extreme Sports in our games right now? And seeing how Nintendo has Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games, an idea popped into my head. Battle of the Extremes. EA Big is coming back with all of its franchises. SSX, Freak Style, excuse me, that was the motocross one. NFL Street, NBA Street, if you want to put them in there, you don't have to. Along with Tony Hawk, they bought the Tony Hawk license, And it's basically a Olympic Games of extreme sports, where you have the Tony Hawk characters from those games, with the SSX characters, with the freak style characters, all just competing in traditional extreme sport competitions to see who is the most extreme out of them all.
Okay, okay. I instantly think about, how are you going to throw 99 players into this obvious setup for Battle Royale of the extremes?
Well, I didn't say Battle Royale.
I know, but I'm trying to get it in there.
It's going to eventually get there.
It'll be a DLC or free add-on later.
Sure. Basically, if we were to get to that stage, it would be at a giant skate park or a big ski slope on the mountain where there's enough room for everyone to do a bunch of tricks, highest score. It's kind of like the eliminator mode in like Burnout, where last place gets eliminated. But for the most part, you are doing single Olympic events like slalom racing, half pipe, big air, all trying to impress the judges in order to, you know, get that top spot on the podium.
Okay, okay. First question. Yep. What countries are represented on the judges panel?
No countries. It's all sponsorships. So you have Alien Workshop, you got Yamaha, you got Kawasaki. Yamaha. Yeah. Okay. You got all the big guns coming out to sponsor their athletes. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Sponsor judges.
I mean, also, like Joe took it from me earlier, but like Monster Energy, huge sponsor in the extreme sport game. Mountain Dew, huge sponsor.
Mountain Dew, of course. Yeah. Yep. What free pack in? So when you pre-order the game, what is the free? What is the trinket? What's the tchotchke? What's the thing that gets people to pre-order Battle of the Extremes?
Mm-hmm. Well, since he's done both skating and snowboarding, it's Sean White. Sean White is the pre-order bonus because he can do both.
Like the person,
Sean White,
the real person, the real Olympic athlete.
Do they clone him and bring him to your house? What's going on?
No,
that's Tim Cerny's side project.
He's a mad scientist.
Everybody, okay. In all seriousness, Kyle, I have something very troubling about this one.
Okay.
It is the year 2020.
Sure.
The PS5. We've been playing games for a long time. Mm-hmm. Extreme sports are dead. I don't know if I care about extreme sports.
Why do
I care about this game that is centered immediately around extreme sports?
Well, when I came up with this launch lineup, I wanted to pay homage to the years of PlayStation.
Okay.
And PlayStation 2 dominated with extreme sports. And so I had to represent that in some way.
You know, I'm sorry, I got to cut you off. This is a sales pitch. Pay homage to horrible, shitty games.
Excuse me? You will not come up in here and call SSX shitty. You will not call Tony Hawk shitty.
I mean, what about the latest Tony Hawk?
We're not talking about the latest Tony Hawk 5 or
whatever the fuck that was. Garbage. Garbage. Garbage.
Final question, Kyle. I have one last question.
Sure.
We all know these skateboarding games, these extreme sports games from the past, the crazy taxis, they all have a song that we remember these games by. The soundtracks are an absolute critical part of the experience. So I'm curious, when you and your team were putting these things together, what song was the one that you wanted, like the one that shows up at the menu, like when wasn't it Burnout, the stupid Burnout game had the Guns N' Roses song to start everything off? Okay, what's the song? What's the Offspring song like in Crazy Taxi? What's the one that kicks things off? People will remember Battle of the Extremes by this song.
Sure. Well, I think with the times that are now, I don't think we go with the punk rock anymore. I think it's got to lean more towards hip hop.
Hip hop.
And when I think of the youths, and I think of the ones that would be interested in this game, it'd be Lil Nas X with Old Town Road. That is the marquee song to put into this game.
Okay. I know. If you say so.
Can I just say one more thing?
Yeah.
He sold it with like Nintendo with Mario and Sonic. You know what happens when Sony tries to blatantly knock off a franchise from Nintendo.
That's a solid point. And I'd like to see, actually, you know, Joy, I'm glad you said that, because I'd like to see a little bit more of those jabs from you guys back and forth. Just a little, like, just take me down. Like, if I'm feeling hot about a game, like, take me down a little bit. So I appreciate the aggressive nature of that comment, Joe.
Well, we got to speed things up. What wins for you, Sean?
I'm shocked because I couldn't care less about Resistance, but it's got to go to Resistance because I couldn't care even less about Extreme Sports.
Kyle.
I'll eat shit for that one. That's fine. All right. That was not as strong as I thought it was.
Here it is. Ready for it?
Ready.
Our honorable mention section. Okay.
Oh, we don't get one more? Wasn't that number four?
No, we're going down the list.
Maybe that's enough.
5, 4, 3, 2. This was 2.
Oh, so we're doing honorable mentions before one.
Yeah, before number one. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
This is the pie in the sky. This is the thing that's obviously not going to happen. But man, would it be freaking amazing. We were at the state of play, and then all of a sudden, it turns black. The last announcement. All of a sudden, you hear the doo-doo-doo, and it is Metal Gear Solid Sons of Liberty remake by Blue Point Entertainment, and it's voiced by the original voice teams, right? So Sam Hader is Snake.
Sam?
And is that
Sam Hader?
Oh, sorry, Sam Hader, original Snake.
I don't think it's Sam.
Back. You don't think Mr. Hader is
it's
back
David.
As
David Hader.
Dave Hader is back as Solid Snake. Reprising his role, because how amazing was it with the PS1? That game blew people's minds of how games could be so cinematic. So it is David Hayter, and in order to break the fourth wall, like Kojima often does, he's talking to Kojima himself, and Kojima gives Blue Point the blessing to remake Metal Gear Solid Sons of Liberty right there, ending the state of play. Kojima himself says, Blue Point, this was your third game that you were remastering or remaking. It's yours, buddy. My blessing. Peace out, bitches. And
damn.
Then right then and there, wait for it, we have learned that Sony has indeed bought the rights to Metal Gear Solid. Taking it away from Konami. They don't know what they're doing.
Obviously not. Kyle, that's kind of a big deal. You were really holding on to that one.
How do you follow that up?
I don't know if you can.
I don't, because I know now your feelings on this particular franchise. My pie in the sky.
Mine?
Is,
my feelings
yeah,
or Joe's?
Feelings.
I'm quite disconnected from the Metal Gear, but that is
oh no, I'm
that's
talking about the one
deal.
That my honorable mention.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Because this is the only like real game pitch that I have. It would be a real sequel to Resistance
yeah.
4. The fight against the Chimera continue, but this time it's told in Africa with a person of color as the main protagonist. All about journeying up the continent to get to Egypt to take out the Chimera stronghold. That would be my dream Resistance sequel. And that is the only original actual idea that I have.
Okay. This is super quick, and I think the audience is going to side with me on this one.
Yeah.
That would be Blue Point has reached like this level that you're like whatever they're working on, I'm buying day one. They could take a game that I don't have any history with and go like I got to experience that thing.
Yeah.
That's the level that they're at. So obviously a real pie in the sky thing with the whole like Konami owning Metal Gear Solid mm-hmm. and whatnot. But fan service through David Hayter. Reliving that game with modern visuals and modern cinematic type of stylings. I'm thinking, of course, from the Xbox standpoint, the anniversary treatment on the Halo games is stunning. Mm-hmm. So I'm just trying to imagine like that applied to the Metal Gear series would be absolutely amazing. And Resistance should just die forever. It should just go away.
Fuck,
it's not coming back. It's not cool. Same thing with Killzone. It's in the back. The third and fourth bullet in the head were in Killzone. The first two were in Resistance.
That's fair. That's fair. I still love it.
Joe, you're saying that you're sitting there looking like I'm saying offensive things over here. Like,
he
that's,
thought no, David Hayter's name was Sam.
Sam.
Let's come on now.
Thank you.
The
thank
iconic
you.
David Hayter.
Yeah, Sam Hayter.
Well, joke's on you. I'm going to edit that mistake out.
No, you're not.
No, I'm not. I know, I'm gasping at another thing. So, yeah.
All right.
Kyle, this one's for all the donuts, right? Yeah. You got 5 and 4. I got 3, 2, and the honorable mention.
I'm not feeling good about this one. I've lost.
This comes to number one. No, I actually think you got it because Sean just said a few things. Kyle.
Yeah.
What is your number one game? This is a system seller for the PlayStation.
I don't know about system seller. But imagine this. Like you mentioned before with my last game, Sony in the past did try to rip off Nintendo with a little game called PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale. This time it's not going to be a Battle Royale game. It is going to be a PlayStation All-Stars game, but it's called Street Tough. It is a side-scrolling beat-em-up game a la Streets of Rage. Or the old school Turtles game. And it's a group of iconic PlayStation mascots. So the Crash guy with the megaphone. Kevin Butler.
Not actually Crash, but the Crash guy.
Crash guy in the suit with the megaphone.
Fuck.
Kevin Butler. Zeke from Infamous. And a BB in a mech suit. Those are your four playable characters.
Who's the fourth one? Sorry, I got stuck on Zeke.
BB from Death Stranding in a mech
BB.
Suit.
Okay.
They band together in the side-scrolling beat-em-up
in a mech suit
to stop the evil Wahoo Drywall Brothers from
Get
breaking.
Away from her, you bitch.
It's like That's Krang from Ninja Turtles.
Yep, exactly. They're going to try to stop the evil Wahoo Drywall Brothers, because you can't copyright the plumbers, from breaking into the Sony vault and stealing the precious trophies to be repurposed for their own evil ways of imprisoning beloved characters only to be released to assist in the murder of other more popular video game characters in their own world. Some various item pickups that in this game. Firmware update files, which you will be used to gain extra health. Wonder Book peripherals to give extra defense. And you can pick up move controllers, which when you pick them up, you can press different buttons and they become iconic PlayStation weapons, such as Kratos' axe. You got Aloy's bow. You got Cloud's Buster Sword. Whatever iconic PlayStation weapon you can use in the move controller.
Damn, that's pretty good, man. I gotta say. Here's a question that I have. I don't know if you mentioned because I was just trying to keep up with the detail,
sure.
Man. Just
yeah, yeah.
I've got a page of notes already here. Art style. Talk to me about art. Is it like pixel art, cartoon,
yeah,
3D
so
models?
When I was thinking of it, I was thinking of the Streets of Rage kind of style.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of hand drawn a little bit. Very colorful. You got the parallax scrolling in the background as you go in through the
parallax scrolling,
the
of course.
Yeah, that's what I was envisioning. Kind of old school look to it.
Okay, difficulty. Talk to me about the old school beat 'em ups are really there to take all the quarters out of your pocket.
Absolutely.
Accessibility. Like, who's this game for? Is it a tough as nails game? Does it scale? Talk to me about like the experience from that perspective.
Yeah. So if you obviously this is co-op, you can play up to 4 players. So the difficulty scales depending on how many players you're playing with. So if you're playing solo. It's a challenge, but the difficulty does go up as long with more people in it, because you got to have some sort of obstacle to overcome on each stage. It can't just get easier just because there's more people on the
totally
stage.
Totally fair.
Yeah.
Totally fair. Final question.
Yes.
Now, with it being 2020, games have an end, but then they also have an end game.
Sure.
Is this a traditional arcade experience, or is there something to do after the fact that maybe a little they're dangling a little carrot for you to chase out for the next 40 years?
Sure. I can imagine a kind of like a Mortal Kombat like tower type situation.
Nice.
Where they have or like a Street Fighter, like beat up the car. Street Fighter. Like the beat up the car kind of bonus stage type stuff. So kind of like bonus things you can do with these characters. And of course, there's DLC where you can get other PlayStation mascots as well.
Oh, that's really good.
Ones like Croc, Legend of the Gobos, Tomba, Spyro, if he wants to show up. Yeah.
Dang. Okay.
I have a question, and it's going to lead into my game.
Okay. Yeah, please.
Kyle, why didn't you pick Horizon Zero Dawn 2?
Joe, you told me the best worst list. I went with literal. And you also told me that you didn't pick it, so you liar.
I mean, I didn't because I expected you to take it.
Again.
But I could now just walk this one home.
Let's go back to the beginning of this show. You should have explained the rules better to me.
But I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do you dirty. Because you're my friend. More importantly, you're my co-host, and I need you next week. So here it is. Though, Sean, I know you don't like this series. Think about the possibilities here. I'm thinking about going head-to-head. I'm thinking about taking on the Master Chief the only way PlayStation knows how. I'm talking about filling out a portfolio of games. That's what I'm thinking about here. Okay? A section of games that's going to satisfy each and every gamer out there. And what PlayStation has lacked this generation and last is a good...
I'm guessing. First person... Keep...
Oh, okay. You looked at me. I'm like, you're going to shoot me?
Is it a first-person shooter?
Is it first-person shooter?
That's what I was doing. I was pointing my gun.
Oh, okay. But most importantly, what Sony's missing is a good online competitive multiplayer game. We know that Sony has picked up both creative directors from Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six Siege. We can only assume, because Rainbow Six is such a prestige game at this point, it's lasted the test of time. It should have came out and it should have just been a dud, but Ubisoft worked on it and they've learned from their mistakes, and now the game is a huge success. And now the creative directors are ready for another undertaking. They want to give you a Killzone game that you can actually play and enjoy, because the worst thing about Killzone is its goddamn story that's stupid. Let's keep it simple. Let's keep it red versus blue. Let's give it to Killzone, wait for it, Rogue, where you are mercenaries for hire that is going to have a mixture of Apex Legends characters, like when in terms of abilities and things that you can do with them, meets Rainbow Six Siege, the operators, the close quarters combat, the tight-knit arenas. This is an arena-based shooter meets Apex Legends Heroes, where it is a game as service battle pass, but wait for it, this game is absolutely free. No $60, no $40, no barrier to entry. You only need PlayStation Plus, and you are playing this game. It is yours with PlayStation 5.
Is this just an extension of Killzone Mercenary for the Vita, where you are a hired mercenary?
It is actually. See, what we wanted to do is capture the history that makes Killzone great and the things that make Killzone great. And Killzone Mercenaries was a great multiplayer experience on the Vita, so we wanted to carry the legacy and the idea of the Vita, but harness the power of the PlayStation 5.
And okay.
Again, because it's multiplayer, you might say, well, how? Again, we're making it free for everyone. It's a 5v5 hero-based arena shooter. You love to see it.
Okay, here's the thing. Here's the thing that hits me in a couple different ways. Yeah. You're right. I don't like Killzone. I really tried. Visually, very, very impressive.
Beautiful. Stunning.
Mm-hmm. Here's what this screams to me, Joe. And this might hit this. I think will make sense to you. Yeah. When a bunch of executives get in a room and they say, what are the kids doing these days? What are the top trends? What are the things that's working in games like that? Let's put all of that into a game and see if it works. I think that's what this is. This doesn't coagulate into a great experience.
This is not a battle royale shooter whatsoever.
Okay.
This is not no battle royale whatsoever. Mm-hmm. What PlayStation needs is a competitive shooter that is going to be taken seriously on the competitive bracket.
That's so do we mean we like 4v4, 5v5 kind of thing?
That's exactly what we're doing here. 5v5 mm-hmm. operators, you have your support class, you have your heavy class, you have your attack class. Similar structure to that of Overwatch. That's what we're going here for. We want to make sure that we have a good feeling game that could go toe-to-toe with another multiplayer game, and it's created by a team that knows how to make a good, again, hero-based shooter. Because at the end of the day, what Rainbow Six is, or Siege is a hero-based shooter.
And I think that's kind of what I'm tripping up on a little bit in all reality. Is like, is this a Battleborn situation mm-hmm. where, like, going up against an Overwatch kind of thing?
To me, what I want to make it to be like is it's more, if it's going against anything, it's more of a Siege audience. We're not trying to go against head-to-head with anybody. It's kind of like with Apex Legends, right? How right now they've kind of found their footing and they're not competing against anybody. They just have this community that loves this game. Mm-hmm. That's what Rogue is all about. It's all about finding the class that you like, that you prefer, and playing that and having fun with your friends.
How are you? Tell me more about the classes, because Kyle painted a really nice picture for me with all the characters. I could really see, like, I get a sense of, like, the different characters I'm playing as. With this one, all I'm hearing is sort of like the features. What are the classes? What should I be excited to play?
The cool thing with Killzone is the weapons. They're always pretty badass. Mm-hmm. And one of the first weapons that I loved in Shadowfall was the assault rifle that could kind of do everything. So what we want to do is have it so where one class, it's more not like hero base where, let me rewind it back. Apex Legends comes from Titanfall, right? Titanfall wasn't beloved, but Apex Legends created this universe within a universe that people can see themselves as. So each character, I would like to make it as a different nationality and different gender, voiced by a culturally appropriate voice actor. The classes themselves, you have a demolition class, which is a railgun, and what that guy does, or gal, is that it makes holes in the walls, it blasts getaways, or blasts places or windows so that you could shoot through them. There's a, like, shield class, similar to, like, a Reinhardt, where you have a machine gun that you can use to support class, or if you want to be completely defensive, you have a shield that blocks stuff. Then you have a medic class that is similar to, like, that of a Mercy or that of a Moira situation, mm-hmm. where they could deal damage, and at the same time while they're dealing damage, they also use the damage that they're accumulating to heal their teammates. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. it's a different way to play, and it's a more grounded. We don't want to just give you guys zip lines and zipping everywhere. We want a grounded experience that feels good.
Kyle, I interrupted Kyle when I had my question, so I want to make sure that you got your jab in or whatever you had.
I just want to know what's going to make players leave these other arena shooters that they are obviously interested in to come play this Killzone game. Because you mentioned Apex, right? Yeah. Apex has got the fluid gameplay. You mentioned Overwatch, which is very pretty to look at. And when I think of Killzone, I think of very dark, grayish... Mm-hmm. Like, the environments are pretty in its gloominess, but I'm not so sure it's, like, pretty to look out for hours on end as, like, from an arena shooter standpoint.
The beautiful thing with Killzone, as I remember it, is that the the open areas are the things that are beautiful about it. That's where the lighting effects really shine through. So we want to give you some areas that are dark and that maybe the light beats through, to give you that, you know, that that ray tracing effect that PlayStation's bragging about. But it's also just about any game. Like, why does an Overwatch come out? Or even better yet, why does an Apex come out when you have such a juggernaut like Fortnite or Call of Duty Black Ops, right? Mm-hmm. Why do people stick with those? It's because they like them and because they're accessible. It's the reason why Fortnite's so successful, is because it's free and you're able to play it everywhere. And that's what we want to do with Killzone Rogue. Is it's free, so it already opens it up to opportunity. There's no risk factor. If you want to play it, it's there. If you don't, you don't. But it's that foot in the door that eventually the whole end game goal to make money off of it is with those battle passes. No loot boxes whatsoever. Everything's cosmetic. And yeah, we want to make it beautiful. We want to fix the lighting because it is too dim, but still keep a grounded Killzone-esque feel to it. So
I think I'm ready for my verdict.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I think this was dead on arrival, Joe. I cannot get excited about Killzone. I'm so sorry.
So cool. Come on, Kyle.
I'm sorry. I can't.
That was cool.
Kyle. I think what Kyle managed to do with All Stars Street Tough is make me care and get excited about a game that was really a joke. All Stars Battle Royale was an effort to try and do something Nintendo had done better, and I thought I didn't want anything anymore to do with that, but I do. I do. I want to play as Zeke from Infamous. I want to see BB with the Krang body from Ninja Turtles. I want to see Kevin Butler. I want to see the Crash guy on launch day.
Wait, are you selling it at $60?
No, I'll pay it for $70. I'll pay $70 for this game.
Fucking buffoons.
This
it comes
is
with a
great
statue with all of them around, like the hero shot of Avengers. They're like back to back.
What a it sounds like a celebration of games to get me to buy it, rather than force feeding and shoehorning a bunch of features that are great in other games into a franchise world that I frankly just don't. I just don't care. I just Killzone. It's a lame name. I think.
Can
Sorry,
I
Joe.
Can
I know you're mad at me right now, so I'm just going to be on the offensive. Killzone as itself is a lame name. Rogue, okay. Even worse, is the worst name of any of the Assassin's
Creed. If I just picked Horizon, would I have won?
Not even a little bit. No, that game's overrated. I'm never allowed to come back, Kyle. Joe has officially left. We're left to look at the beautiful posters on the back of his wall. Yeah. Congratulations, Kyle, on the well-deserved victory in this
surprising.
Very confusing, difficult to judge competition.
Yeah, I bet you had a very tough job there.
Tough Sean. Job. Yeah,
you handled it with great.
Thank God this is the pilot episode. You know what I mean?
It might never see the light of day.
May never.
Yeah, I get it. I understand.
This is what happens when you made me fight for infamous Second Son over God of War.
I feel like you didn't really even believe in Killzone Rogue, to be honest with you.
I did.
I don't know.
I think that's fucking awesome. Free-to-play, arena-based shooter. That sounds like, I'm picturing it, I'm like, I want
to
play this
game. It screams Lawbreakers to me. It screams Lawbreakers.
No, Lawbreakers is just like, let's just take everything. This is like, no, this is not.
That's kind of what I'm feeling about it. That's why.
How
that's
is
actually
that not
a
taking everything from everything else?
Shit. This has been top tier, a video game ranking show that I don't feel good about anymore. I'm your host, Joseph. The winner's Kyle, because that's bullshit. Sean.
See you never again. Thanks for having me on the show, buddy.
I hate you all.
Be sure to listen to the Xbox Drive. It's an Xbox show I record in my car. It comes out every Thursday. Right alongside this here, the Trophy Room, you get a pair of podcasts. Trophy Room podcast, you get the Xbox Drive podcast. We love, all jokes aside, I love the show. Joe, thank you so much for letting me hang out with you guys tonight. It's been an absolute blast. I had so many laughs, and now I'm going to go kick up a pen pal relationship with one Tim Cerny.
Nice.
Oh, Tim Cerny. Well, with all that said, with all that out of the way, everybody, this show's fucking rigged. Have a nice one.
Peace out, Tim Cerny.